And welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and today's topic is called Detachment in Relationships. I don't know if this subject is of interest to you, but I have in the studio with me today a speaker who has an enormous wealth of wisdom and spiritual experience, Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over four decades. The series focuses on the core of spirituality. It asks you to take a good look into your own heart and ask yourselves questions like, what is your relationship with God? What is your own level of spirituality? Is your life as it currently is it working for you, or is there things that needs to be adjusted? We also take a look into one's relationship with God. Not just God as a name or a concept, but how to have a real, intimate, and personal relationship with God so that you live a balanced life. This show also focuses on the impact of spirituality on one's consciousness. So I invite you for a rather fulfilling half an hour to listen to the words and wisdom of Sister Denise. Thank you so much for joining us today, and very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
So, Sister Denise, detachment in relationships. That is almost an unheard of concept, because as the age-old adage goes, fools rush in where angels fear to tread in that department. Detachment in relationships is practically unheard of. Tell us, what is your take on the subject?
Most relationships are actually enmeshments. You know this word, enmeshment?
Explain to it.
It's where people are so caught up with each other that you can't figure out who's who in a relationship. And there are many expressions that we find in our culture, you know, that, you know, two people come together and become one, you know, two half people come together and become a whole. And so if you're moving around in life like only half a person looking for your other half, that's not true. You're a complete person. And the idea of a relationship is two complete and independent people come into a relationship where it is complementary, where the sum of the parts can well be greater. You know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, but it doesn't mean that the parts are insufficient in and of themselves. And enmeshment is also where a person feels and thinks and believes that the other person will make them better or fulfilled or happy or something like this, you know. And people go into relationships or they go into marriages with this idea that you are going to make me happy. You're supposed to make me happy. That is your duty to make me happy. That is your purpose of existence, is to make me happy, you see. So this means that you don't look at another person as an individual in their own right, but you look at them more as a commodity for fulfilling wherever you happen to have some gaps or holes or missing bits. It's extremely selfish. You get other combinations of relationships where the person believes that my purpose is to make you something special. And then that person neglects themselves completely because they start living for the other person. And then if that person dies or gets interested in somebody else, then you're left completely in a mess, because you never bothered to build yourself up as an individual. So a lot of relationships are like that. Now, detachment in relationships is, I'm me, I'm a complete person, you're you, you're a complete person. I don't know you very well, But as the relationship progresses, I discover you, you discover me, and the relationship goes through many turns. It's a whole territory. It has to be renegotiated from time to time. And anything may happen where you have to pull back from the relationship and return to your singularity, but you can shift easily into relationship, into singularity, relating with somebody else here, somebody else over there, but you never lose your singularity. That is detachment in relationships.
Tell me, why is it necessary? And the reason I'm asking this question is because most people, people consider it a wasted life if you don't find your significant other. And throwing oneself headlong into a relationship where you have an intimate connection with somebody else is considered to be the best life. It's the dream of most people.
I think that, you know, that this Aristotelian statement, man is a social animal, you know, it's well known to people. But social doesn't mean that you lose yourself in somebody else. You know, humanity is designed to be in families, extended families, tribes, groups, nations like this. And what we have now in the world today is because people are so weak, they try and feed from others. And what happens is that that's not a good way to fill the emptiness. So the importance of a relationship with God comes in here. A person who has a good relationship with God is not going to use another human being to fill up where they have gaps, but they will fill themselves from their relationship with God, which makes them able to go into a relationship with another human being in such a way that it's not predatory, you know? Because this is the problem in relationships. It's victim and predator. And that's not a relationship. That's a hostage situation. It's not healthy. And it's so widespread in our world because individuals are really weak spiritually, and because people don't really know how to fill themselves from the source that is the right source for filling yourself, the source which is the Supreme Being. What do you need? You need love. If you go to another human being and say, well, I'm in relationship with you so that you can love me and support me and give me strength and. That means that you're not really seeing the person as a person. You're just seeing the person as lunch, you know, something that you use. And this is why people do use and abuse each other. And, you know, there's nothing wholesome, there's nothing healthy about that. And then very often in marriages, people will create children to distract them from their problems with each other, which means all the problem gets pushed onto the children who grow up being used, and so they never have the opportunity to grow up as independent people themselves. So we're in a fairly critical situation, and the key is to make a really solid relationship with the Supreme Being who you can feed from as much as you want. It's not going to cause any damage. You feed from another human being, it will cause damage. And, you know, sometimes people back off from each other because they have to protect themselves from being, you know, or their energy getting drained, you see. And so then everybody gets lonely. And so then you find somebody and consume this one and consume that one and just go through relationships. You never really know how to build something deep and meaningful on the human level. So detachment means, take it or leave it. If the person is there, I'm absolutely there. If you're not there, it's fine. That means you give one another freedom in relationships because you're not using them, you see. You come into contact, you interact, you move apart. It's flowing, fluid. You have lots of different relationships, maybe not millions of relationships, but in a healthy way, a number of different relationships where there is mutual benefit. You see, it's in equilibrium. There's detachment.
Mr. Denise, it's a very strong message that's sent to society that if you're single, something is wrong. Do you have a different take on this?
Well, in spirituality, one of the things we learn is the soul is genderless. In a regular human way of looking at things, people are either men or women. And because it's a patriarchal world on the whole, the males like, want, need female company. And the females feel, I need to be needed, I need to be loved, I don't have any identity by myself. I am the wife of, mother of, daughter of, you don't have your single identity. So if you're single, it's wrong because it doesn't fit into that view of people. And so spirituality says, anyway, of course, it's very important for a soul to be in relationship. But you can be in relationship with God and then come into relationship with another person. If you're married, not married, you can still make your life possibly even more significant as a single individual. But you see, in the society that we have today, which, gives more importance to the identity of the male. So I think it is when women want to stay alone that the society feels a little bit alarmed because it goes against those social norms that say you can't be alone because if you're alone, you're probably doing something bad. Those are prejudices. Those are preconceptions, you see. So women, okay, you can be a teacher or you can be a nurse or you can be a doctor. You're in some sort of service format, and there are even some societies which say, well, women are for, keeping the house and producing babies, and other than that, they have no function, they have no purpose. Women don't need to be educated. What there's so many, religious groups which are antagonistic to women being educated. But once you get into the idea that, look, you're a soul, you reincarnate. Sometimes you take a male form, sometimes you take a female form, but a soul by itself is genderless. And so a soul is an intellect, a mind, a personality. A soul is filled with talents and possibilities. Whatever body form you take doesn't change the contents of the soul, you see. And so once you start to pursue the spiritual side of yourself, you can start to exercise and apply those inherent capacities. And you may want to lead a life which isn't a domestic life and have a lot of meaning through that. But this really goes against what the society is used to. So you're doing something contrary to the norm that becomes suspect. But if you look at the essentials of what a human being is, it's not suspect at all. It's just that people are very blinkered in their views. So we need to open that up.
If somebody has a definition of relationship where they're looking for the enmeshment, but have come to realize the error of their thinking and now decides to approach their relationship from a different perspective, there's a change you have to be in the relationship or with the self or both?
Well, what happens is you don't just wake up one morning and think, oh, I think I'm not going to do enmeshment, I'm going to do detachment. Doesn't happen like that. When you're an enmeshed person in an enmeshed relationship, that's going to create a catastrophe. And that catastrophic situation can be enough to wake you up to say, I don't know how I got into this catastrophe, but there must be something on my side which made me create this situation. Normally people think the other person is at fault, but if you get the idea, no, I did something to contribute to this. What did I do? Ah, you're an enmeshment type now. You need to think about not being enmeshment. That is such unknown territory for that person that they will really need to go through almost a course of study in how to be an independent person. So that's very deep psychological work, social work, spiritual work, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Sister Denise, what becomes of somebody who creates a certain amount of distance between himself and his or her partner in a relationship? In what way do they, what do they gain from it?
I think the most important thing is they start to operate as equals and they come into negotiation with each other. Some people get very shocked when they hear that relationships need to be negotiated. They do. You know, in maybe about 1,000 years ago, when human relationship problems started to be thought about by the thinkers of the age, what they did is said, well, you know, let the females do whatever the males want, and then there won't be any problem. And maybe that worked for a few centuries, but certainly not working now. But the thing is, how it might have been in an ancient past, where we think that people were on a much more equal footing, all that is lost, you know. So we have to reinvent it, we have to rediscover it, and say, okay, I'm not a woman or a man, but I'm a being. And I'm in contact with myself. And then I share my being with you, not necessarily all of it, some of it, and you build a relationship. But there has to be equality. Mm. Otherwise, it becomes victim-predator. Mm. So for that, the woman has to be educated, because you see, for there to be compatibility, whether it's a relationship of a marriage, whether it's a relationship of a friendship, man to man, woman to woman, whatever it happens to be, but there has to be the possibility to negotiate. So you have to be, you know, of a similar level and find compatibility.
I'm reminded of these words by Khalil Gibran on marriage, and he uses a line that's so precious and so relevant to what you're saying. He says, let there be spaces in your togetherness.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And he uses as an example the pillars of a temple. Mm. If they're too close together, it's a problem, and if they're too far apart, it's also a problem. So Denise, we focus primarily on adult relationships and romantic relationships, marriages, etc. How does one apply what you just said in respect of a mother and a child, a teacher and student, a cousin's best friends? Because those relationships also need to be negotiated, don't they?
Well, it changes according to the actual age of the people. One of the problems of parents and children is the parents sometimes don't see the person. They think this is my child, it's a piece of property, and they want that property to function in a certain way, and they never really see who's the person inside. So the importance of, I think, a spiritual perspective is you balance your responsibility as a parent of a small child, but that personality is emerging as that child grows, and you need to kind of grow with the child. And as the child moves into teenage and has to deal with, you know, their own growing pains and their educational difficulties, because education is extremely stressful in the world today. It's like a machine that churns out people with particular qualifications that at great cost to the young person, and then puts them in the workforce again as a machine which is kind of grinding down the spirit of the person, you see, which is a what we have created in our world. So we need to in a sense compensate for that by being a very enlightened parent who sees the child and relates to the child as a separate individual, you know. And when you subscribe to the idea of reincarnation, you see that your seven-year-old child 7 years ago was an adult. And that adult is present in that child, and the child is gradually coming into the adult form. And so you need to always be aware, who is this person, you know? And you may have karmic accounts. That's another factor that really plays up in a relationship, because if you have a karmic account, some unfinished business from another time where there is suffering involved, where there is give and take of sorrow, all of these things, you have to have enough spiritual wisdom to notice what's going on in that relationship so that you can apply detachment where there could easily be a lot of emotional trouble, and just know, well, this is from another time and I have to pay my dues or whatever it happens to be. Really use your spiritual wisdom, your spiritual powers, your yoga to mitigate those difficult areas in the relationship until it becomes what we know of as a relationship of bondage, karmic bondage, and move it into a relationship of harmony, mutual benefit.
Sister Denise, you touched on this throughout the course of today. Tell us about how you relate to God and how he helps one with maintaining distance between you and others.
When you have a solid relationship with God, which is very stable, very focused, whatever other swings and ups and downs in your human relationships, it doesn't make much difference because they are not your primary relationships. Your primary relationship is your inner relationship with God. You know, when you don't make that a primary relationship, you can be very affected by the ups and downs that go on in any normal human relationship.
So I think that has brought us to the end of today's show. Thank you so much. The subject matter that you shared today was highly unusual, so I hope the audience has some food for thought. So thank you for joining us this evening. I hope that you enjoyed this show. Sister Denise has shared some valuable insight into what it means to create distance or detachment within relationships, and I got the impression that if one doesn't do so, it will actually at a stage affect your sense of sanity. And I hope it's something that you can relate to and something that you consider, because most of us seem to enjoy our enmeshments and we don't seem to realize how much damage it causes in our lives until it is too late. So whether you are an adult or child, whether you're romantically involved with somebody or not, every single one of us has a variety of relationships in our lives. Please take a few moments, a few days, do an inventory of yourself and your relationships and ask yourself, is it working for you? And if not, how can you renegotiate it and create some distance between yourself and the other person? So, Sister Denise, thank you so much for sharing your time and your energy, and we hope to see you, the viewer, soon. Thank you and goodbye. Thank you.